This is the third Sunday in Lent. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament will be this evening at 6 p.m. Tomorrow is a big feast, the feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It will be a high Mass at 9 a.m. and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Tuesday, the Mass will be at 8:30 a.m., followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. On Friday, Mass is at 7:30 a.m., as usual. But there will be Stations of the Cross at 7 p.m., followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and confessions. This coming Saturday, March 30th, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass, there will be catechism classes. And next Sunday is Laetare Sunday. The Mass will be at the usual time, 9 a.m. And after the Mass, in the hall, will be the bake sale, which hopefully all of you will bring your favorite baked goods and put prices on them. And that is sponsored by us, so the proceeds come to Servants of the Holy Family. Some big feasts this week. In addition to tomorrow's feast, the Annunciation of Blessed Virgin Mary, and she is mentioned in today's Gospel, as you may have noticed. We want to mention that to you also. We want to speak to you about that because that is spoken of by some so-called Christians as our Lord trying to put once again his mother in her place. So it is as if these people are saying, it is as if he is denying those words of praise that were spoken by this woman. Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breasts that nursed thee. And he says, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. So, saying supposedly, this is not true. It's more important that they hear the word of God. The reality is what he is saying is about his mother, because what he is saying is that this, even though it is true that she is blessed for the reason that this woman gave, because she gave birth to him and nursed him, that's not the primary reason that she's blessed, but rather she is blessed because she heard the word of God and kept it. This is a reference, we believe, not only, although primarily, to this feast, the Annunciation. When the Archangel Gabriel, whose feast is today, so when the Archangel Gabriel, Saint Gabriel, came to the Blessed Virgin and announced that she was going to be the Mother of God. And after, you recall, after the angel departed, then she conceived our Lord and Savior in her womb. So it may be a reference primarily to that conception, but it is also a reference to the moment of her own conception. Because we know that at the moment of her creation, the moment that she received her soul, she was not only conceived immaculately, but that she was the holiest person in, apart from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, she was the holiest person ever at that very instant. She was holier than all of the angels and saints put together. In other words, God loved her more than everyone else together, if you could add up that love. So that is when she first heard the word of God and kept it, at that moment. That was the moment that, as St. Thomas tells us, he says, attingit divina, how does he say it? Attingit finis divinitatis. She touches the edges of divinity. She is as God. She is like God. She is not divine, but she has something of divine in her, of the divine. She is the mother of God. We know that her holiness increased exponentially throughout her life, so that the same saint says that her glory, her dignity, is quasi-infinite. And this epistle for today relates to her also, because St. Paul says in the beginning of the epistle, be imitators of God. Now, who was he thinking of most of all? Be imitators of God. He's thinking of our Blessed Mother. Who imitated God more than she did? And he says, like most dear children, the children that are loved the most, and those are the ones that imitate their parents, their mother especially. So what did our Lord and Savior do? Because he wanted to be a most dear child, and he wanted to imitate his mother. So he made her like a God. And then he imitated his own mother. He who was God imitated God in his own mother. So this Mass is about her. There are also, on Wednesday is the feast of St. John Damascene, and Thursday, St. John Capistran. But just briefly, I want to mention one other saint whose feast is this week, and it is tomorrow, Feast of the Annunciation. Her name is St. Margaret Clitheroe, and she lived during the time of the Great Persecution during the Protestant Reformation in England, when so many Catholics were martyred. This woman was raised in the Protestant Church. And when, after she married this, her husband, who was a rich man, she decided that she was getting nothing from these Protestant ministers who were preaching to her. They were not moving her at all. And she heard that Catholic lay people and priests were being persecuted and being put to death in defense of the ancient Catholic faith. That's what she called it, the ancient Catholic faith. And she said, that's what I want to do. I want to be among those people. She became a Catholic so that she could be persecuted. And even though she had no education to speak of, she could read and write. She's a very holy woman. She became holy. She, not long after she became a Catholic, she was, because of her Catholic faith, she was put in prison, even though she had children. She was put in prison for 2 years. And it was said by the priests that knew her that she treated it like a retreat. And you know that it couldn't have been a very pleasant retreat in terms of her surroundings, because they say that the dungeons that these Catholics were put in were extremely foul. But she went on a 2-year retreat, and finally she was released, and so she went back and continued her practice of the faith. She had, because she saw that she would need it, she memorized the little office of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Latin. She memorized it so she could pray it without having the book. Memorized the whole thing. And they say she was very witty and very good looking, St. Margaret. And everybody loved her. All of her servants, because she was married to this rich man, she had all of these servants. And the servants, even though they were not Catholic, they would always defend her, and they would warn her when they knew she was in danger, because they loved her so much. And she always had a smile on, especially in prison, because finally she was caught. They came to her house and found that she had been harboring priests and that she had a chapel. She kept it hidden, but they found it because one little boy who was staying with them was not their own son. He was, so to speak, forced to reveal where this place was and who had been there. And so she was put in prison. And she would not make a plea, because they asked her, don't you want a trial? Don't you want to be defended? And she said, I have done nothing wrong, and so there's no need for a trial. And she said this because she knew if there was a trial, her family would be called as witnesses. But she knew that she would be put to death whether or not there was a trial. So she had said that she wanted no trial. And finally she was condemned. And her death was the one that was given to people who would have no defense for themselves, such as her. And that was that she was crushed to death. She had a door placed on her, and then weights were put on the door until it crushed her. So tomorrow is her feast. And we thought that you would like to know about her because of her dedication to what we have, the true Mass, in the midst of persecution. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becomes saints, or obscenity or foolish talk or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 to 28. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils." And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breasts that nursed thee. But he said, Rather blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, first of all, before we forget, our Lord points out that if some kingdom turns against itself, which of course is preposterous, but if a kingdom turns against itself, it will immediately be destroyed. So he says this is preposterous, that Beelzebub is fighting against himself. makes no sense. And also he uses as another defense, another proof that they are devils themselves, the people who are saying this to him, about him, or at least thinking it, because he also read their thoughts, it says. He points out that he's not the only one casting out devils, because the apostles were doing it, and his disciples. All of these people, all of these other Jews, were casting out devils. And he says specifically about the apostles, they didn't know what this meant, but he said, therefore, they shall be your judges. And he meant that literally, because remember, the 12 apostles are our judges. So the 12 apostles were going to be their judges. These other Jews who had cast out devils, even Judas, we presume, cast out devils. Also, we are told by Saint Bede the Venerable, that there were other, even in the Jewish religion, they had exorcists at that time. And so our Lord is saying, why are you saying I'm casting out devils? Clearly, this is incorrect and you are evil, because your own religion casts out devils. Your own priests, or exorcists at least, they cast out devils. All of these other, your children, all these other people here are casting out devils. And you're saying, what about them? What about them? Why aren't they? Why don't you accuse them of the same thing? So he's pointing out their evil. As far as the epistle is concerned, we are told to imitate God. St. Paul says, be imitators of God. Now this is a little bit difficult to do in most cases. It's very difficult to imitate God, isn't it? But in many ways, in some ways, we can do this. And the most important way that we can imitate God is to imitate our Lord and Savior. How can we imitate him? By dedicating ourselves to God completely. Dedicating our lives, not only for the glory of God, but for the salvation of souls. Isn't that right? We can do this just the way Christ did. We can give ourselves completely to God for the salvation of souls. And of course, this is our obligation, and it is serious. It's a serious obligation that we have to pray for other people, to save souls, to sacrifice ourselves, if not completely in the priesthood or the religious life, if not that, at least to pray and to give ourselves to God in prayer, and to be, as St. Paul says, saints. When he refers to us as saints, you and me. Now, he doesn't mean saints like these saints. He means earthly saints. What does he mean by that? He means mystics. This is what is demanded of us. We are all called, that's a vocation, right? A calling, that's what it means. Vocare, to call. We all have this vocation. If not a religious vocation, we all have this vocation, and that is to be mystics. maybe not mystics on the level of these mystics in heaven, what level are we called? You know, there's, as our Lord said, there are many mansions. What quality of mystics are you called to? All of you. It's called the prayer of quiet. That's what's demanded of you. And if you are saved without reaching that level, then you will reach it in purgatory. And what does it mean? It means that God prays in you. That when you begin to pray, God takes over. And He, the Holy Ghost, and you feel Him take over. Right here, up here, that's what your prayer must be. If not all the time, at least part of the time, that you are all mystics. Doesn't mean that you can perform miracles. It doesn't mean that you have to levitate and go up in the air like St. Teresa of Avila and so many of the other saints who levitated. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that you can hear God with your ears. Or even that you can hear Him speaking to you silently. But that He prays in you. When you pray, God prays in you. This is the type of saints. And so this is the type of dedication that we can have in imitating God. Be imitators of God, at least in your prayer life. Your dedication, that you give yourselves to God completely. And you must do this. Remember that people depend on you for their salvation. They depend on your prayers. We have spoken to you often about that all people, everybody in the whole world, from the time of Adam and Eve up until the end of time, everyone is given an opportunity to go to heaven. They're all offered, we believe. We're not just judged, these people who've never heard of the Blessed Trinity. They're not simply judged on whether or not they've been good people, nice people. That's not how they reach heaven. Everybody's given an opportunity to reach heaven, just like you and me. And so we believe that they are offered the opportunity to believe in the redemption and the Blessed Trinity, at least that. And some will reject it, some will accept it, embrace it, and be saved. And if they haven't lived a good life, then they will go to purgatory. Now, when God offers all of these people, billions of them, when He offers them this opportunity, which ones are saved, which ones are condemned, do you think? We would suggest to you that the ones that are saved are the ones that you have prayed for by your prayers. You offer your sacrifices, and those people are given extra grace because of you. That's what we suggest to you, because we know that people depend on our prayers, not just the people that we pray for specifically, praying for him or her, but the ones that you're not praying for specifically. They depend on you also. And these are the people that we can offer ourselves just like Christ has done. And if you are mystics, as you should be, as God expects you to be, and you look at the altar and you see the crucifix, at the crucifix, if you are a mystic, a crucifix is your hot spot. As soon as you see that crucifix, you immediately go up to heaven. You dedicate yourselves. And hopefully, you can dedicate yourselves in religion, with a religious vocation. St. Paul also talks about the fornicators, fornication and avarice and unclean people. He says these should not even be mentioned among you because you're saints. You're mystics. He says these things are shameful. He says, no foolish talk. So, of course, he's in scurrilities. So he says, no talking about obscene things. That's not Catholics. We noticed that when we were growing up. Catholics, good Catholics, do not talk about obscene things. But we heard Catholic say something obscene once, we couldn't believe it when we were a little boy. A Catholic saying something like that. We knew non-Catholics did that stuff, but we couldn't believe a Catholic would say something like that. So St. Paul says, nothing foolish. So he's saying, Catholics are grave. Yes, we laugh and we have a good time. But Catholics are grave because we're serious. People depend on us. But he said we should be giving thanks. And St. Augustine says in his day that the greeting for Catholics was Deo gratias. When you see someone, you say, Deo gratias. And that's their answer. It later became praise be Jesus Christ. And that's what the sisters say to each other. And the response is, now and forever, amen. This, St. Paul says, this is the way Catholics talk. Thanksgiving. And then he says, know this and understand. In other words, he's saying, listen very closely. Nobody who is a fornicator or unclean, that means personal sins of impurity. And covetous. Now, he doesn't mean a person who's inordinately attached to his possessions, money. We all have that problem. He's talking about a person who has an insatiable appetite for wealth, and he obtains it, or she obtains it, unjustly. He cheats people. That's what he's talking about. He said these people have no place in the kingdom of God. They will not be saved. He says, let no one deceive you about this. Because of these sins, the wrath of God comes on the non-believers. But of course, if it comes on them because of these sins, how much more will the wrath of God come on you and me? He doesn't mention that. Because we're saints. says, let nobody deceive you. Now, who's going to deceive you, people? Just about everybody. We know that about a couple billion people are so-called Christians. And so that means that about 5 billion people are not Christians. And so to these people, there is no such thing as sin of impurity. That doesn't exist. So they will deceive you for sure. But also, most so-called Christians, we're talking about, first of all, about Protestants, they don't appreciate sins of impurity. There is no such thing. They divorce right and left. And they don't believe sins of impurity are sins. You know that. First of all, because, as Luther said, sin bravely. So impurity for these people does not exist. They'll deceive you. But now we have Catholics. We don't want to go into details. We just want to say that a good portion of the Catholics now will deceive you also, so-called Catholics. Brethren, do not let happen to you what happened to this man in the gospel. Notice that our Lord cured him. It doesn't say it here, but this man who was dumb was also blind, and our Lord cured him. It doesn't say it in this account. And this man began to speak. The devil had made this man dumb. Don't let that happen to you. Don't be dumb. And we don't mean stupid. Don't be afraid to speak. Because we see that some do not like to speak very often. Right back there in the confessional. Don't be afraid to speak and tell the priest your sins. This might be your last Lent. You may not be here next year. Take advantage of it. Make this the Lent that you became one of the saints if you have not reached that level of mysticism. Let this be the time that you do it. Go to confession often and become a saint. Don't let Satan make you dumb. Don't, certainly do not be like the other man that our Lord describes, in which 7 other spirits worse than the first came back and dwelt in him. Do not fall back. Leap forward to a life of sanctity. This might be your last opportunity. Many here, this is the last thing. We know all of you pretty well, and we know that there are many people here who are very intelligent. But that will not save you. In fact, brethren, for most people, being intelligent is a hindrance to their salvation. And do you know why that is? You wouldn't think it, would you? If you were truly intelligent, then you'd be one of the saints, wouldn't you? If you had true intelligence. Why is intelligence a hindrance for you? Because most people who are intelligent are very proud of it. Don't forget that God hates you if you are proud. We're not making that up. That's scriptural. God hates you. Isn't that frightening? Don't you find that frightening? That if you are proud, that God hates you? You know, God loves everybody, right? Isn't that what they say now? God loves everybody equally. Well, maybe he does, but he also hates everybody who's proud equally. So if you're going to be intelligent, be smart also. Do not be proud. Also, we see a lot of good-looking people here. Don't let that be a hindrance to you. Are you proud because of your good looks? Most good-looking people probably go to hell because they're proud of it. And talented people, they're very proud also, aren't they? All that matters, brethren, is that God thinks that you're intelligent or good-looking or talented. If God thinks that, then you've got something that you can go to the bank with. If God thinks that about you. Otherwise, your great genius and your beautiful, beautiful body and your talent will torture you for all eternity. Do not let these things be a hindrance for you. Put those things out of your mind. Only love will save you. Love. The love of the saints. If you love God with all your heart, you will be saved. And there's only one way to love God. Only one. Prayer. That's the only way. If you don't pray, you'll be lost for certain. You have to be a saint. One of the little ones. And then you can be saved. And God bless you.